The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the fourth annual Eightfold Path program. Unfortunately, it began with an erroneous email telling you that it began at 1:30. And it really begins at 1, so I'm so glad you're all here, but there may be a second wave at 1:30. People who believe the email. So fortunately, we're planning to start with a sit, so we'll maybe have that run a little longer just to be sure that everybody's here who wants to be here. Is the sound okay? Okay. So I'm Chris Clifford, and this is Bruni Davila. I'm so happy to be sharing this program with. And our third teacher is Kim Allen. And hopefully one of the three of us will be here at all the sessions to provide some continuity. And then we'll have some guest teachers come in and teach with us for part of the sessions. So the plan for today is that we'll have a sit, and then I will introduce the Eightfold Path. What is it? Where does it come from in the teachings? Why are we doing this? And then we'll have a breakout discussion, which is a key part of these meetings, so that you get to know each other and have a feeling of community. And then Bruni will talk about the program, the structure of the program, some important attitudes and ideas to bring to how to work with the program. We'll have another discussion group, and that's our basic plan for today. Okay? So we have assigned mentors to everyone who signed up by the deadline, and you will be hearing from them pretty soon. And if you haven't signed up, if you thought you didn't need to do that or you want a mentor and you didn't understand, you can come and talk to me at the break and we'll see what we can do about that. Okay? It's also fine to come here, get the mailings, and do the course on your own without a personal mentor if that's what you wanted to do. All right? Okay, so let's begin with a sitting because mindfulness and a quiet mind is essential to how we're going to go about working with the path. So we want to keep that very much an element of it right from the beginning. So take a posture like. So it's very helpful to take a moment to see if you can get a feeling for your spine being aligned in a way that supports your uprightness without additional muscle strain. Some folks are getting cushions, which is fine. Give them a minute. So we'll begin by just grounding our energy and attention in the body. So you might begin by bringing some awareness to the point where you're in contact with your seat, your cushion, or your chair. Just letting yourself settle deeply into the support of the ground through your cushion or your chair. Just noticing if you feel in balance from side to side and front to back. How much can you just relax and let go into that feeling of being supported by the nature of your bones and relaxed in your muscles, relaxed but awake in your attitude, in your mind, knowing what's happening as it's happening without any need to comment on it or make anything of it, just aware of the simplicity of sitting here. Being supported by the earth You might let your attention go to where your feet contact the ground. Feeling maybe some warmth, tingling. The balance. Centered, balanced. Aware. At some point you might notice some gentle movement in your body associated with breathing in and breathing out. If you can just let that come to you, there's no need to breathe in any particular way. Just notice it the way you notice your feet against the floor. Letting it be, trusting that your body knows how to breathe. You might sense some moving in your belly, stretching out the out in breath, relaxing back with the out breath. Sounds come and go. Breaths come and go. Just settling back, knowing what's happening. Letting it be seen, heard, and felt for just what it is. Simple, not a problem. The mind wanders off into thinking. When you wake up, there you are. Just check back in with the felt sense of your body sitting here in contact with the chair. Breathing in, breathing out, happening all on its own. Mind wanders. We wake up, we remember, here we are. No need to judge that. Just notice, oh, it was lost, now it's back. Reconnecting with the felt sense of sitting here. Breathing in, breathing out. Sounds happen. How do we meet those sounds? With aversion, with ease and equanimity, maybe a little joy in the sound of children. So in the last few minutes of our sitting, I invite you to connect with your heart. Maybe bring to mind your intention for joining this program. See if you can connect with the felt sense of that inspiration. What is this point in your life that's brought you here? So much just going into your head to think about it, but see if you can stay connected with the breath, the body, the tenderness in the center of your chest or wherever you feel your heart center, your good wishes for yourself and for your world. Well, this looks like a pretty good crowd here. I was worried because I sent out this email accidentally saying it started at 1:30. So just warning. I know, I'm sure. So why don't we just spend a few more minutes, occurred to me, before I start on the Dharma talk. Brenda, you want to introduce yourself a little bit more?
Sure.
Are you on?
I'm on.
No.
Is she on? Is your thing on?
Oh, let me turn it on.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Well,
okay. Great. So, I feel jazzed to be here with all of you today. Some of you may have seen me around. I've been at practicing with IMC for the past maybe 10 years, something like that, and have been practicing since maybe the early 90s, different places. And here I am. I arrived here. I have dedicated some of the service that I do in my life to IMC and IRC, doing registering many, some of you have gone already to some of the retreats we offered at IRC, and have gone through the Sati program for Introduction to Chaplaincy. So different ways I've been here in giving and receiving so much from so many people that practice here and service here. So. And I'm so happy to be doing this with you.
Yeah.
Wonderful to be with Chris here, so thank you.
Well, I've been practicing here for about 20 years and doing various things. This has just come on in the last few years, and I really love doing it. And working with the online introductory course that we have that reaches people all over the world teaching meditation, which is really fun, and working in the kitchen at our retreat center. So just, you know, as Bernie said, any way that works out to help and be enjoyable and of service is really delightful. I thought we might, who else here is a mentor in this program? Would you raise your hands? Okay, so I know it's confusing that people don't know who their assignments are, but let me just say this is Tanya and Jim and Judy Cannon in the back there and Michael Bennett. Anybody I miss? Okay, so if you happen to have heard from them and you want to introduce yourself to them, you know, you will be contacted if you've signed up, and if you haven't, you can come and see me at the break. Okay? So, let's go ahead and start. I think we're doing okay here. Yeah, so here we all are. We're all at least some decades into our life, right? Apparently. We're setting out on this year of working with the Eightfold Path, which is this 2,500-year-old formula for more happiness and less suffering. So if you're here, you've already begun to take seriously this question of, you know, what's the deal with seeking happiness and peace of mind and a way to serve in the world, contentment, the meaning of life, right? And then we continue to encounter all this suffering and anxiety and stress and how to balance those and how to get more and more wise in working our way through that. Everyone, you know, by our age is somewhat conscious of death, illness, old age, loss, misfortune, you know, meaninglessness at times, at least plenty of unpleasant sensations, you know, pretty total lack of perfect control over what happens. So how do we work with this? How do we be happy and at peace even living in that world? Now, even as it was true 2,500 years ago, there's this wilderness of false promises of acquiring things, buying things, being seen to be a certain way, being a certain kind of person, getting the approval of others, whether they're wise people or not, you know, you happen to work for them or be born into their family or whatever, you know, and there's a lot of stress and strain in getting through life. So what the Buddha realized in essence is that true happiness and peace comes from having a peaceful and kind heart. It comes from our intentions that we bring to what we do. Unhappiness comes from the self-centered, harmful, and grasping, manipulating attitudes and the behaviors that those lead to in the world that continue this cycle of causing suffering in their very nature to ourselves and causing suffering in their results to other people. So these are factors that we can safely learn to cultivate, safely and reliably, and the resulting happiness is true regardless of external circumstances. And furthermore, acting from this kind of understanding is actually the best we can do for the world. I know that most people who've come here are already quite with the program of wanting to, you know, be a good influence in the world. So there's this beautiful sense of no conflict in this path between the means and the ends, right? All ends are relative. Things keep going after the end, the so-called end, right? And so much of the means by which these ends were achieved really is what determines how they unfold, how things unfold from then on, right? So we're really working with the union of these two qualities of what how do we do something is maybe at least as important or more important than what we're actually doing. So how we go about recognizing and seeing for ourselves these truths, strengthening our good intentions, seeing through with compassion whatever we're still holding on to, letting go of our less skillful habits. How do we cultivate and stabilize this wiser relationship with ourself and with all of the other people and life forms and situations that we might encounter? So when we turn to this question that's based on this kind of understanding, this is where we're stepping on the Buddhist path. And this alone can be a great relief, seeing that we have this potential to let go of this exhausting and pointless search for happiness out there somehow, and really start to look within and cultivate our own resources that we find in our own hearts. So this path comes from the very first teaching that the Buddha gave. You know, he practiced for a long time all kinds of different practices, starving himself and trying to find the answers to these questions. And then he had this realization of this middle way path that was not indulging in depending on sense pleasures to make you happy, but it was also not necessary to deny life and mortify yourself, or we might say these days, you know, take drugs and space out and, you know, get away from it all totally somehow. So there's this middle way, and it comes from the teaching is called the first turning of the wheel. This is the wheel of the Dharma with these eight spokes. And the context that it's taught in is the Four Noble Truths. The truth that there is suffering, the truth that suffering is caused by how we're relating to experience in this craving and grasping, self-centered sort of way, and the truth that when we stop doing that, suffering ends. Suffering is relieved. Right? And then the way to do that is the Eightfold Path. So I like to understand the path. The path is both the way that we finally get a taste of what's meant by that. You know, what does the Buddha mean by suffering? He doesn't mean you're never going to have a illness again, or you're not going to die, or you're not going to have any loss. But there's a way of relating to it that's more open-hearted and less, why me? You know, less, oh dear, this should not be happening. But much more open-hearted awareness that this is a part of life. And you know, there's a touching and compassionate way to relate to these things. It's so much less suffering that we might call it not suffering. So, you know, I don't claim to be anywhere near the end of this and to understand what's meant by the end of suffering. But, you know, I've had enough tastes of seeing ways of relating to things that make it worse and ways that make it better that I have a lot of confidence that this is well worth an investment of your year in looking into it. So when we look at the path, it's composed of these eight steps that I'll go over. They're traditionally begun in English with right view, right intention. And that can be a little off-putting. So what's meant by right is, it's a translation that maybe you want to hold it as wise or appropriate for the purposes that we're undertaking here. You know, it's not you know, meant to be an off-putting word. So just hold it as this is the view, the intentions, the way of using speech and action that is helpful and appropriate for the purpose of relieving suffering. There are three sections in the path. And the order that these are usually taught in a graduated teaching and that are really necessary for your own development is actually not quite the order that they're laid out in, but we'll explain this in a minute. So you could divide it into the whole Buddhist teaching into three parts. The Pali words for it, just for fun, are sila, samadhi, and panya. And sila means ethical behavior, virtue, you know, how you conduct yourself in the world. Some of us were just talking at a little meeting at my house the other night about how much we've come to really, you know, we're old 60s people, and words like purity and wholesome and all that weren't so much the thing back then. But we've really come to appreciate those words, you know, and really, really, oh yeah, wholesome, that's good. You know, that's how I want to be in the world. And it's got that holistic ring to it, and it's good, right? We want to be good. So sila is this bedrock foundation of how we conduct ourselves in the world. And although you might have started with meditation, as I did, I was kind of a latecomer to the taking the path as the heart of the practice. To me, it was sitting quietly and kind of de-stressing for many years. But it's hard to do that if you're still, you know, stirring up a lot of trouble in the world. You're not going to get that far with meditation. So the foundation is to start to look at how we behave and how we act in the world and what that does to our own minds and our own hearts. So, you know, the understanding of the Buddha is that every action produces some result. It may be an obvious result, or it just may be a reinforcing an inner habit of kind of tightening up and turning away. You know, you can crush a mosquito or something, but you might, if you look carefully, you might notice that you kind of have to tighten up and not really look, you know, while you do it. And so it's got some little way in which it's influencing you as well as influencing the world around you. And this has so much to say about how will you look back at life, you know, on your deathbed, if you're lucky enough to have a deathbed to look back on, you know. What will count? Probably these memories of kindness, memories of love and work that you've done in support of life. You know, so this is for yourself and it's for others in a very balanced way. Then the second aspect of the training is samadhi, meditative kind of unification, calming of the mind, quieting down of all this inner noise. Training the mind, working with the mind to let go of these deeper and deeper layers of mental irritants and habits that keep driving our behavior. Really, and also really discovering the happiness and bliss that's possible through meditation goes a long way to relieving, you know, addictive needs for stimulation of other kinds and so forth. So it's really, it's both insight into the deep roots of our unskillful behavior, and it's a replacement kind of happiness that's better than, you know, more ice cream. So, well, you know, occasionally you want the ice cream, but no, anyway. And then the third factor is wisdom, panya, the development of wisdom. And this comes through what you observe as you slowly work with your ethical behavior and you slowly calm the mind and get some experience, some taste of what is not suffering and what is suffering. The wisdom really deepens. You see through these deeper and deeper conditioned illusions about what's worth clinging to and what's not worth clinging to. And, you know, the more you can see, the more clearly you see it, the more deeply you let go. The more deeply you let go, the happier you can be. And so eventually, complete freedom from the forces of greed, hatred, and delusion. It's interesting that in Buddhism, that's how enlightenment is defined, as the absence of greed, hatred, and delusion. What you do with it is up to you. You know, you can be an artist, you can serve the world, you can be a great parent, you can do whatever you want, need to do or want to do. You know, it's not trying to get to a particular state or become a certain kind of person, but letting go of greed, hatred, and delusion. Right? So it's a process. And the path is a spiral. You know, we get more wisdom, then we're able to act more wisely, then we're able to calm down more, then we get more wisdom, and so it spirals on in this way. So the eight factors that we'll be studying them this year in their traditional order actually start with wisdom, the wisdom factors of right view and right intention. And if you think about it, that's true, because you really need a preliminary sort of wisdom to even undertake this, right? So we'll start with looking at where are we in our views. Okay, what is it that we believe? What do we really think life is all about? And what views are driving us right now? And we'll understand where we are with our wisdom and how that's giving rise to what kind of intentions. And then we'll look at how we're behaving in speech and action and livelihood. And then the way I see it is after several months of looking at that, we're really understanding the motivation behind meditation and calming down and mindfulness. Of course, we need to use those factors all along during the year, but I find it's very motivating to really take a look at my speech and my actions. Oh, this is why I need to sit. This is why I need to calm down, because I just can't get to whatever it is that keeps me blurting out things I wish I didn't say, or, you know, eating too much, or whatever my thing is. You know, so how can I really get more to the bottom of that? I can sit more, I can quiet the mind, I can make a little more skillful effort, and those are the last factors that we'll get to. So you can see how it's a spiral. Now we're going to take one pass through it in the traditional order. So I like to think of the path as a sort of a engine of integrity. You know, if you look at it, this is, you're kind of rolling through life in this little fashion. You have some beliefs and views. Those condition your intentions. That conditions what you say and how you act. You know, and those kind of add up to sort of your character and some of your bigger life choices in terms of work and situations of one sort or another, right? And then that's how you're going along. And most people are going along without really looking at it very clearly. But you're starting to look at it clearly. Or maybe you've been looking at it clearly for 30 years and here you are, you know, taking it to another level. And so the more you look at it, then the wiser it is. And the wiser it is, the wiser you act. And the more you include looking at it because you understand the value of that. And so it becomes an upward spiral of a kind of an engine that leads to more and more integrity in your life more and more wisdom, more and more peace and happiness. And it's not really linear. I mean, you know, the factors all influence each other. You have mindfulness, intention, wise effort, what your beliefs are. These are, one of the sutras actually says these are circling around each other and circling around all the factors. You know, so it's not a straightforward path, and it's a real complicated maze, but we study it in a way that hopefully starts to shed some light on it. So, what does it mean to be on the path? I think of it in two ways, of orientation and navigation. So it's an orientation that we all really need in our lives. What's our life about? What's the meaning of life? And it's so, so incredibly valuable to bring this orientation to whatever you're doing so that you can always look at, well, how am I doing it? You know, say you have to work late at night and, you know, you don't want to be there and there's chaos going on and all that. You can always turn to, okay, how am I going to bring the path factors to work here? It's like a higher level project that you always have going in your mind that can make any situation meaningful to you, you know, and give you some opportunity to relate to it in a way that's more skillful. And we're orienting toward this direction of greater and greater peace and happiness and being able to be an open-hearted person in the world, you know, and that direction then starts to gather a lot of other factors into our life to make sense more and more often. It isn't too helpful in this path. You know, maybe some of you are really inspired by the idea of total liberation. And that's great, as long as you keep your eye on the steps right in front of you, you know, because what's happening right now is the only place that we can really make any progress in that direction. You know, so that idea is, for some of you, it may be out there like the North Star, that you're not so much thinking you're going to get there, but you're thinking that, you know, at least you're heading for true north, you know, in your worldly navigation, right? But so, you know, there's different places to be in this, and it's all good as an orientation. The second aspect is what you might call navigation. So how do you know if you're on the path? And in what way is this a path? It's not a path like it's predefined and, you know, oops, you took a wrong step, or, you know, it's not laid out. It's a way, I think of it as a set of skills, like navigating a forest. You know, you're learning to recognize the trees, and you're learning the animal signs, and you're learning about the stars, and then you're out in the kind of trackless wilderness of the rest of your life. but you have these skills, you know, so, and you have your orientation. So it's not a path like it's, you know, all mown for you and you're just going to skip along like the yellow brick road exactly. But it's navigational skills. And you can always ask yourself, you know, you can always, these are factors that you can always check in with. You know, what's my intention? What am I believing in this moment? How am I speaking? What tone of voice is coming out? Where is my voice coming from? Am I shouting or, you know, how am I feeling? What am I doing right now? How am I using, what's my place in society and my views about how I'm using the resources of this planet and the people around me to make my way, have my livelihood? So the practice is inviting this cultivation of two factors that we don't think that often that we have control over, which are intention and attention. You know, you don't think so much of those as precious resources that you can cultivate and learn how to use more wisely, but they're probably your two greatest human attributes. The ability to notice and pay attention to what is your intention, and just to pay attention, notice where your intention is. You know, how much time are you spending surfing bad news on the internet, you know, or, I don't know, whatever, you know, for example. But how much time are you spending just not paying attention, having no idea where your attention is? It's probably going over and over and over, thoughts you've thought a million times. You know, it's just kind of being frittered away. So it's you have to be very easy with yourself, because it's not easy. This is a very strong habit that we all have of not being very clear about our attention or our intention. But you can always check in. Where is my attention? What am I noticing right now? What's my relationship to what's happening? What's my intention with respect to what's happening? So the constantly doing that is being on the path. And the practices of the path that ground us in this direct observation, direct experiencing with our senses, which includes our mind, but most of us are pretty tipped over into thinking a lot about stuff in abstract, philosophical, memory-based terms, you know, and we need rebalancing to really taking in a sensory way, what's right in front of us right now, and what is our heart and our five senses telling us about what's going on right now. So we're really increasing our sensitivity to what's going on around us. We're practicing non-denial, learning how to really access and navigate by this felt sense of well-being. And so you find this real growing sense of integrity and confidence that you have what you need inside you to really find lasting peace and happiness in the world. So, got a few minutes. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the path? Or, you know, Bernie's going to talk about the program, so let's not get into that. But maybe just did what I've said raise any questions for you or anything you'd like to share? Well, our next event is a little breakout session. So why don't we first get into groups of five? And you can go out there, you can go up here. Just get in. Well, yeah. No, I'll tell you first, since you may need to go out there. I'll tell you the question first, and then just get into groups of five. And if you feel like you're an odd number, walk toward the front and we'll group you. So we're going to go around in the group one person at a time, and I'll ring a bell every about 3 minutes. So each person will have 3 minutes to just share what's brought you here. You know, just it's a way of getting to know each other, finding out what we all have in common or different about what's brought us here. Okay, so just about 3 minutes of sharing on why you're here, what's inspired you to take this, what's going on in your life. Okay, and the rest of the time, just practice mindful listening. Listen to the person who's speaking. See how present you can be, not rehearsing what you want to say, but see if you can really be present in just hearing them and trusting that when it's your turn, something truthful will come out. Okay? Okay, so get any common themes or observations in your group? It's nice to hear a little bit from people. Anyone willing to say anything? Good, thank you. Okay, and we're just going to use these. There's quite a few people in the program who will be listening to the recordings who don't live here, so that's why we're going to use the mics.
So at least in our group, I think a very common reason was that they'd had an interest for a while, and this is a good way to bring structure to the time and find the time. So I'd just like to thank you for giving that, because it's something I definitely felt I needed, and I think everybody does.
Thank you. Yeah.
So everybody in our group, that is totally different reason. However, we have this similar enthusiasm. We all want to be here, and we're really looking forward to this program. And we also very appreciate the opportunity to be able to practice with this wonderful group.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, well, let's take about a 10-minute break. We'll come back at maybe a little more. We're fine on our schedule. So we'll come back about 2:25, and you can talk to each other informally out there. You can come up here if you have issues with the program with me, and then Bruni will talk about the program. I mean, you know, regarding mentors and the mailing and all that.
Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about the different elements of the program and some useful attitudes that we can bring into it as we start this venture all together. And also maybe some approaches on how to hold the program and how to go into it. There are so many different ways. I want to start by saying that there's so many ways. We're so unique. How many people are here? Maybe, I don't know, 30 people? They're different. There may be like three different Eightfold paths here, because we all take it in a different way. We're all unique with everything that we bring and everything, you know, all the different ways in which we do and our states of being. So that is to say, everything is welcome. Every single thing, whatever, however, there are different things in that you can use to implement, to apply this program into your life. You may see that there may be some times that you may go deeper into some of the factors of the program as you go through all the different factors. Or you may see one week, oh, I don't know, this factor did not resonate for me this week. It can happen at different stages of the program, even after you finish it. So I encourage you guys to be open and to bring a sense of interest and know that it's fun. Know that it's fun, that there's a great opportunity here for learning and applying all this to your daily life, and that there's a little bit of everything. When I started the program, I started it with kind of a very open, broad way of going into it. I was like, well, okay, let me see what comes up for me. And then lately, as I keep going through it and apply it into my life, I realize that it is great that it offers a structure. So I want to talk a little bit about, someone mentioned that it's great to have a time structure for it. I want to say that there are different ways in which that structure may be helpful for some of us or for all of us. The structure on seeing how the material is presented to you, the structure of the time, of course. You know, it's nice to know, okay, I can touch base with other people or with my mentor about this, and you know that it's going to happen a certain way at a certain time. So it's been very helpful for me, actually, to have a structure on how to go through the teachings, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. With that, I will say
Also, there's space for creativity. So some of us, i.e., including myself, there may be times that I'm like, okay, let me just follow this structure. And there are other times that I'm like, what about this? And let's try this. And let's try this other thing. And that may not be in all the different elements that I'm going to be talking about. And it's okay. Have fun with it. See how anything, any ideas that you may have on how to apply the program, consider it. One thing is, the path is there as you engage in it. So there are different ways to look at the path. I remember certain occasions for me looking at the path as a map, maybe of a location where I was going to go. Okay, there is a path, and then later throughout the week, where is the path? Let me look at the map again. Oh, there is the path. There may be other way in which you can go and, okay, let's go to the path. And you may say like something external to you, and maybe something is presenting to you an experience or so there, however it shows up, just make sure that you also show up for it with your body, with your mind, whatever you have at that moment, it is fine. So show up. And with that is make it easy. Sometimes that's just enough what is needed. You're going to be receiving emails. You're going to be receiving readings. You're going to have people to talk with, and I'm going to go through that now. Show up. And see how it unfolds for you. You may be surprised of all the benefits and fruits that you may get from the program. And you know there's not a certain way of, oh, I can get a lot if, of course, you know, the more you engage, you may be able to get more. And there are other times that, you know, this is what I can do right now. This is great, perfect. Don't underestimate your intention of showing up and being here for this program. So where do you start again? Where you're at right now, and you know, no need to fix anything. No need to dress up for it. You know. No need to change, you know, your daily schedule completely to make it happen one way or another. There's a balance, you know, between doing and being. You have done several things by being here right now. You registered for the program, or you showed up today, and without knowing if you may be able to get into the program or not. There's some doing, you know, and there's the engaging of following up with the different elements. There's some concrete things that will help you engage in it. And then there's an element also of just being, just relaxing with it, and just receive what comes up, and then at that point, you know, maybe you can see all the different choices. Oh yeah, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Different ways to do this. So within the structure or within the creativity or the flexibility of the program and within within your intention, there's also there's a sense of continuity that starts developing, no matter how you engage the program. You may see, and I think that for me, that has been very, it's been key. Developing the continuity, as I said, the kind of a repetitive way of showing up is key, no matter how, if your conditioning or, you know, the circumstances of every day, that continuity of showing up again or maybe having just one thought about it or connecting in one way or the other with the Eightfold Path is key to this program. One thing that may come up for you as a benefit at the end of the program or as you engage in it is maybe if you don't have a meditation practice, maybe you start one. Maybe you realize, maybe I start a mindfulness practice in one way or another, or maybe I start sitting, or you see that continuity may be through, again, other ways. So continuity is very useful for you to be able, it's almost like a compounding effect. There may be occasions that, okay, yes, I showed up. And then there are other times that, oh, now I see the time that I showed up when I left work, I didn't want to. It's almost like going to a gym, you know, sometimes. It's like you may realize the benefits are there later. There have been some people that have said, you know, like Chris was talking about integrity and also I see it for me like getting clarity in really how I want to live my life, how I want to engage in what is most important to me. How I want to hold those edges that I'm going through healing. Or how I want to treat myself in terms of how I show up in the world, what kind of how I hold myself and others in my life. So there's many benefits of the program. So with another aspect that you may see is. A sense of going to a place of refuge or realizing that through the program there's some aspects of going for refuge that start getting cultivated even when we don't notice. And within the Buddhist path, many of you may know that within the Buddhist path we talk about going for refuge to the Buddha and going for refuge to the Dharma and going for refuge to the Sangha. And looking at it from, you know, kind of a practical 2015 perspective, there may not be a lot of change in how going for refuge has happened in the past, I don't know, 25, I think since I started practicing, I've heard it's 2,500 years, but I think there may be a little bit more than that. Going for refuge for me is almost like, you know, for me has been going for to a place of rest. I've heard other people that talks about going for a place of safety, in one way or another. Safety means different things for different people. For me, other times have been it's almost like having a cup of cold, chilled water when you're really thirsty. It's just like, wow, going for a place for rest. So going for refuge to the Buddha, when we are talking about that, is really we're talking about that possibility that the Buddha showed that may become a reality of seeing clearly that we do have a capacity of being at peace, of being at ease. The Buddha was a person just like us. Just a normal, a person, nothing fancy. And he was able to get to a place of peace, to have to develop a mind that was able to, hold many things, and at the same time holding all different things with kindness and equanimity and compassion. So when we talk about refuge in the Buddha, is refuge in our innate capacity, even those moments that we don't believe that is there. And I can say, I've been there, it's like, there's no way you're telling me, it's like, I'm like the Buddha, it is possible. I can tell you all the different moments in which I've been like all over the map, and still happens, as a beginner. I'm a beginner in this path. And there are moments, the moments of peace, the moment of ease have come back, have increased. There are more moments of peace. And there's a different way to hold different things on moments that there are moments of struggle. So you may see that starts get developed as you go through the program. The other refuge is the Dhamma, the teachings of the path, and that is where structure will come handy I will talk as they relate to the different, all these different aspects of taking refuge or going to refuge that are within this practice. The Dhamma, the teachings, not only reading, not only having a book to read, or not only Dharma talks, but there's something that I love about this path, and is the teaching that comes up when you are ready, and maybe you don't know that you're ready, but things unfold in a way that, wow, I just saw it. I realized why it is that I do this, or I realize, oh, the impact is just like an aha moment, and it doesn't have to be a huge aha moment. It could be, oh, wow. So you may see that as you engage in the program, those moments on seeing or maybe recognizing or having more clarity of what are the teachings, that show up for you, may become clear. You may be able to recognize. You may be able to say, wow, I related to these circumstances in a very different way that I related to it maybe 2 months ago, and I feel good about this, or I feel in more acceptance with it. So the Dhamma, the other aspect that you may see also that is in one way or another, it just the program gets deeper, and these may show up even though you know you have not have a complete map of what will show up and how things are going to work. Is the Sangha someone when I think Lydia when she was when you were sharing about the sharing within your groups. Express gratitude for being here and sharing this with all of us. So that is another aspect of the program that is also developed as you engage in it. The Sangha, how we are sharing, we're sharing with all of us, is you're not alone in it. You know, when I started looking at all the different factors of this program and seeing how they were in my daily life, I thought it was all about me. It was all about me, and I was alone, and I would come to this meditation hall or, you know, to other places, and they were a lot of people, but it was a lot about me. And, you know, it was lonely at some point. And then as I started looking at the different aspects of the program and different aspects of this practice, as I engaged more in the practice, those beliefs and patterns started softening. I want to tell you, for me to be here today and feeling connected to you, to Chris, and to people outside, for me it's like, wow, that's a great, great benefit, great gift. Oh my gosh, it just brings me tears. The Sangha is a great gift. It's a great gift. So how you're going to see that within the program, how you're going to see all these different elements that I'm talking about. So for the, when we're talking about the refuge in our capacity, you're going to see that through the reflections. You will have opportunities through the reflections. You will receive, you know, on a monthly basis, we select a factor, and you will receive an email with different questions and different reflections that you can use each week to reflect on it. So that's going to be something that you're going to be able to use to look at the different factors and see, look at how to trust and cultivate that trust and knowing that you have everything you need in that moment to be present for whatever shows up and maybe look at the reflections in whatever way it unfolds for you. So the reflections will help you with that. For the Dhamma, for the teachings, there are two books that we recommend, encourage you guys to get. And there's one is accessible through the internet, and the other one is here in the library. One is Eightfold... Eightfold Mindful Steps to Happiness, and is from Bhante Gunaratana, who is a wonderful Buddhist monk from Sri Lanka, and he has a very simple and light way to present things. It's a great book, so I highly recommend it. And then the other one, let me see, what is the other one? Oh, the other one is the Noble Eightfold Path, The Way to End Suffering. And this is by Bhikkhu Bodhi. Bhikkhu Bodhi is another wonderful scholar and monk within this tradition, within the Theravada tradition. And you can find that through Access to Insight, which is a website, is free, and you can have access to it. So the books are going to help you in getting some clarity. This is where, like I said before, the structure it's helpful in seeing all these different ways on how to receive kind of the teachings that you will get through books and through the Dharma talks and maybe through other readings. So then for the Sangha, there are going to be also many different ways in which you're going to be able to connect with others. We're going to have these monthly meetings here, and so you're going to be able to share your experience. We're going to be able to see, to normalize, you know, what it is to be alive. You know, these daily experiences happen to all of us, you know, different experiences of happiness, different experiences of, you know, getting stressed or, you know, or struggles or kind of peculiarities. You know, I was preparing for this class and out of the blue, blackberry chocolate chip ice cream came to my mind. And I'm like, great, that's a great, you know, let me have a little bit of that while I work on this. Okay, a little bit. But then I love that ice cream. And so at some point I was like, okay, let me see where, I just cracked up. I took myself lightly at that point. It's like, wow, I wanted to keep eating that ice cream. I said like, oh, well, let's see, maybe just a little bit, just that balance, you know. So daily experiences. So it's to normalize, to see that we all have our things, you know. I was driving here, I was relaxed, I was calmed, and at some point I see this walking path and I barely stopped. And guess who was, this happened just as I was driving here. Guess who was crossing the street? It was Gil. Gil! I was like, oh my gosh, it's Gail. So I'm like, okay, Eightfold Path. I think, what happened there? So we are all humans. We're all beginners, you know. No matter how many times we have done things, showing up over and over again, it doesn't mean that is to fix something. Oh my gosh, I have to change this and I have to show up over and over again because I still do it. No, it's not about that. It's to start anew. Every moment is different. Every moment has different conditions. So so for that, you know, to share our different moments in our lives, we have the monthly meetings. We have the monthly meeting that you're going to have with your mentor. We encourage you to get a body. So if you know someone here that you want to check in, you know, maybe call in a weekly basis or you see when you come here or any other place and you say, you know, I really want to check on this today. I don't know. What do you think of, you know, sharing how you're feeling or what are your thoughts of something that is happening and in regards to how do I apply here the Eightfold Path, you know? I don't know, I'm thinking about my work and how useful it is, and I don't know about this livelihood thing, you know? So, yeah, so I encourage you, if you know someone and you want to connect, that's a way to do it, or if you want us to assign you to someone from the group and you're okay with that, or just come to us at the end and let us know. But I think that is useful to, you know, the more people you have to connect with. If you miss a Sunday here or you don't come here, you still have an opportunity to connect with someone. So then we're going to have in the middle, it's going to be on January 10th, I think, and you will receive some information about this later in the year. We will have a potluck here after the program, just as a way to socialize and hang out together in a different way. And at the end of the program in June, we're going to have a day-long retreat. where you're going to have an opportunity to practice some of these factors like concentration and mindfulness. So that's going to be at our Insight Retreat Center in Santa Cruz. So different ways to connect with the Sangha, different ways to cultivate that. I was commenting to Chris. It's just amazing. I just realized as I was listening to her sharing what she was talking about. The same year she started, I started in a whole different place here in the mainland. You know, I was in Kentucky going to a day long for John Travis, and she was here going to a retreat in another place. So the Sangha may not be only us here. Know that maybe as you go deep into this program, you may realize that it expands to even people that you don't know, to people that are in different places. You just never know. As you develop within the program, which with that comes is some attitudes that may be useful for the program, and I want to talk about that, you'll see that there's going to be compassion and wisdom that may arise in you in a different way that maybe you have experienced it before. As you realize that you have the capacity to have clarity and to be at ease and to be at peace and really show up and understand, oh, this is how things are right now in this difficult moment. Maybe you have a different perspective when you see that other people are going through the same thing that you're going through with their specific conditioning, you know. But that's, you know, there's a phrase from Pema Chodron that I love, that she's a Buddhist nun in another tradition. She says, the way in which we treat ourselves sometimes is the way in which we treat also the world. So, and that, we can apply that in many different ways. So for me, it's been a benefit of this program to softening my mind of let's make it happen right now, no matter what, no matter who is in the middle, you know, there's a development of maybe thinking about how our actions impact others. So useful attitudes for the program. You know, there may be times, and I've been there, and it happens, where there's no time. There's no time, you know, with work and family and having fun, and there's no time to go through the different aspects of all the different things that I have talked about, and it's Sunday, and you're having lunch and you're listening to the Dharma talk, or you're working on your reflections, or you just come here without, you know, checking, oh, yeah, it was maybe, what was the factor for this month? We encourage you, we have seen, and also from own experience, if you dedicate a little bit, just, you know, whatever you can on a regular basis, just a little bit of time, a regular basis to the program, that kind of attitude of, yes, some kind of openness. I think I may be able to do this. Let me hold that intention. So an attitude of some commitment, like, wow, you know, I sign up for this program, I'm just about it, or even if I'm confused about it, or I have my doubts about it, I still sign up. So let me see what else I can do here. So that attitude of being positive about it, or just you know, showing up when even it is hard, that is an useful attitude. An attitude of flexibility and compassion. You know, for me, at the beginning, in the middle and now, it's like, okay, I'm going to do the reflections. I'm not going to have only one body. I'm going to have two or three people in addition to the big group, and I'm going to do this and that, you know, trying to accomplish everything. The planning, you know, let me plan everything perfectly. Maybe lighting up a little bit on that may be useful for some of us that have that tendency of just have everything, you know, by the dot and pretty neat, you know. Or maybe, you know, if we are, or some of us go through, you know, like a cycle of, oh, I'm just going to let it flow and see how things happen. And, you know, maybe an attitude of a little bit more of engagement maybe will be useful for you. So with all that, an attitude of compassion will be beneficial. And so the last thing I want to talk about is there may be some things that even with all these different attitudes that support us in engaging the path, there may be some things that still, you know, may be difficult to do some of these things. And I will say that, it continues to happen, is one of the challenging things for me have been to remember that I'm part of this program. Even though I'm sitting here, you know, even though I have the intention, yes, of course I'm going to do this, or yeah, this state of being open and flexible. Yes, again, we're all beginners. So we encourage you to find ways that will help you remember that you are in the program and that things will happen on a weekly basis. Sometimes we don't check email because there are many emails. Post-its in different places in your home or in your car at work. Whatever helps you remember that you're in the program, see how can you integrate it into it, okay? So I think, do you want to add anything, Chris? Is there anything?
Let's go on.
Okay, so let's go ahead, and if you close your eyes for a moment, we're going to move into the next session, next breakout session. And the question that I'm going to drop for you in your beautiful mind is, what will help you remember to engage with the reflections every day? What will help you remember to engage with the reflections every day? So, with that question in mind, what about if you guys go back and form your groups?
Let's form different groups so you get a chance to meet different people.
Different groups. And before you start moving, the way we're going to do it a little differently now. When you get into your group, the first person that would go will give one or two sentences responding to that question. You know, something brief, but, you know, what you're thinking, okay, what will help me remember and to engage in the reflections. And then the next person will go and will give two sentences, and the next person will go, and then you will keep going, giving two or three sentences on responding to that question, okay? So if you please go into your groups now, different groups, and...
Yeah, groups of five.
Yeah.
So this is one of my biggest obstacles. It's like daily life practice and setting the time and intention to, I don't know what the program consists, but like kind of moment to recollect and set the intention. But around the circle, I think the common thing was like setting a time doesn't work for us. But one of the recommendations that I thought about is like, if you could really have a physical space, like a little shrine area, where you kind of go in there and you kind of set the tone for the day, can be really supportive. I don't really have that space, but it's something to think, consider, I guess.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you. So one thing I thought of that I didn't actually share with the group because I just thought of it now. But that I find is really helpful is we tend to put so much structure around meditation. We have all these programs and we have all of these books to read and podcasts and lectures to attend and conferences and events, and it could go on and on and on and on. When I start feeling overwhelmed by all this, the way that I find is most helpful for me is just sit every day. Forget all this other stuff that's going around. Just sit every day, and everything else will figure itself out. So,
thank you. Very wise. I'd just like to say a little bit, this program is not really all that doing-oriented, It's kind of reflective. So, you're listening and you're reading if you can, but the real heart of the program is that every week we send out these reflections, and you just kind of bear in mind, what is my view, what is my intention during the month, So it's not trying to add a lot of busyness to your busy life, which I really appreciate, but just a topic to have in the back of your mind, throughout the month, and trying to think of ways to bring it to the front of your mind often enough that you notice, what's going on with me with regard to this factor. So don't be worried about it's not it doesn't need to be an overwhelming amount of more busyness, I hope. You have to work with that with yourself. Thank you. Anybody else? Who's the mic? Do you have the mic still? Give it to Jill there.
I actually have a question. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Although we had amazing ideas, our group. One of the ones that was to put it as the background of your computer, your reflection questions, which I thought was really clever. But when do the reflection questions start? When will we get the first one?
Yeah, this is introductory program here. And then the real meat of it starts on the 25th, the next meeting, which is when we start on Right View. And that weekend, the introductory mailing about Right View will go out. And then every week during that month, you'll get a reminder of that set of the reflections that's for that week. You'll get a weekly email reminder. Okay, and you'll practice with it, and then toward the end of that month, you'll meet with your mentor. And then we'll start a new topic. You'll get the mailing for that and weekly reminders for that, and then you'll meet with your mentor about that. Does that make sense? So this month, you could look at those introductory... we have a handout here. I'm sorry, Bernie, I'm kind of saying what you were going to say. We have a handout here that's the content of that email that you might have gotten last week, but please take one. It's got the summary of the program and where all the information is. And there's a couple of introductory articles you might want to read if you haven't read them during this month. So there's not much to do between now and the 25th. except get set up with your mentor. Your mentor may want to have an introductory meeting where you can kind of get to know each other and talk about how, you know, what's brought you here and so forth.
Yeah, actually, Chris, there was a question that was asked in my group. Somebody asked, what do you mean by reflection? So I wonder if you could say
very good question.
About.
Yeah. Yes. So leading questions for you to observe how this factor is working in your life. You know, so suggestions for how, notice how you feel when you're talking to people, or notice what do you believe about various things. You know, how do you relate to your opinions about various issues that you have opinions on? Questions like that for you to kind of introspect on, and then have in the back of your mind, and notice, you know, when incidents happen during the month that relate to the topic of the month. Oh, here I am, you know, haranguing somebody with my political opinions. Is that suffering, or is that easeful? You know, am I really likely to be changing their minds, or am I just wanting to beat them up? You know what? So you begin to notice that sort of thing, right? So examples like those are examples of reflections.
Okay. Yeah, and I was also going to say that sometimes the idea is if there's a question, people think, therefore I have to have an answer. I have to reach an answer.
Right.
So maybe explaining that it isn't so much about coming to an answer as just observing the reaction question generates.
Yeah, right. We're working on becoming more sensitive observers of our own mind and body, you know, and our own habits and our patterns, and what noticing more, what leads to more stress and what leads to more ease. So that's the whole thread of the program, is looking at these 8 ways in which we behave in the world, and what's our relationship to these factors, and what can we learn just from observing? There's a great power in just observing. That's the whole deal of mindfulness, is that if you shine the light of awareness on it and you really see, oh, that's a habit I have, and look how I'm actually all tensed up around it. You know, really seeing that clearly, you may notice it next time earlier and you may be able to relax more. So, anyway, thanks, Jim.
It's almost like you're going to have like a flashlight that maybe sometimes you didn't know that, you know, maybe something is working well, or appreciating, you know, maybe appreciate something more, or something you have to look at. The flashlight of wise speech, or wise livelihood, or who knows.
I just wanted to clarify one more thing. When we talk about finding buddies, if you want us to assign you a buddy, email the course email. I can't write it all down today. So send an email to that Eightfold Path thing saying you would like to be assigned a buddy, that you don't have a friend in the program. And we'll just match people up. And the idea is just one more thing. Maybe you can agree that we'll have a phone call, you know, every other Sunday or something. Just a reminder, whatever, you know, we're not trying to matchmake you with best friends for life, but just somebody to help in one more way to, you know, remind you to engage with the program. Okay?
And it's optional.
It's optional, yeah.
It's
right. Anything that we were going to say? Any more questions?
Bring your body, mind, and heart, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Want to sit for a minute?
Yeah. Let's sit for a minute.